Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then.
Today I want to speak on living pure. God has been pressing me the last several weeks, and I didn't understand until I started studying and getting into the Word exactly what he was trying to do. And the word purity kept on coming out of my as I was praying. And I was praying in the Spirit, purity will come out, purity, 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 on and on and on. And I would ask the Lord, what exactly are you trying to show me in this? In our society, in this time, we live in a time where anything and everything is accepted. It doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what you feel, it doesn't matter what you say, everything is accepted. And if you don't accept those things, then you're considered closed-minded. You're considered outside of the lines. Everything in this world is so left. I remember a time when things that were straight are now crooked. Things that were once up are now down. Things that were looked at as pure are now being called legalism, or now being called being closed-minded and not allowing to live or allow people to live as they want. We're living in a society that nowadays that anything is allowed. Anything and everything is allowed. We're living in a time where even us as believers, as Christians, are being forced to accept these things, not only in our lives, but also in the four walls of the church. We're living in a time where these things are allowed to come in, and unfortunately, a lot of these things have come into the church. It is saddening to see people in the church doing and working and speaking ways that are ungodly. We see in the world that there are things, you see in the church that there are things being allowed that if God would be here, Jesus would have been here, he would have tossed over every single table in the building. He would have flipped over every single chair, knocked down every single sign, and would kick everybody out. It may seem harsh, but that is the truth. We as the body of Christ are responsible for what we allow in the church, but not only in the church, but in our personal lives. We as the body of Christ are responsible for what we say, do, and act. We as the body of Christ are responsible for how we think and how we conversate with the people around us. We as the body of Christ are responsible for what we hold true in our lives. The Word of God is true. It will always be true. And we have the instructions from the Word of God. We even have the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But if we don't choose to live by those ways, we ourselves will be also condemned. The whole thought and thinking of once saved, always saved is not a true fact. Because we can lose our salvation if we continue to do things that are inappropriate or things against the Word of God. We cannot live according to how we think, but according to what the Word says. I know a lot of you are looking at me as if, oh, aren't I saved by grace? Yes, but I'll show you what the Bible says about that. You ready? Open your Bible to Romans chapter 6. You know, that scripture is used so loosely. Oh, I'm okay. I can do it. I'm fine because I'm saved by grace. I'm okay. I'm good. Oh, the Lord will cover all sin. I'm good. So I can continue to do what I want. But look what the Word of God says. Romans chapter 6. Go to verse 6. If you have it, say amen. It says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we could no longer be slaves to sin. Go down to verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. So if we are supposed to be considered ourselves dead to sin, is the thought of saying, I'm saved by grace so I can continue sinning, okay? Let's continue on. Verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present your bodies to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Okay, I'm good because I have grace, so I'm fine. But look what it says. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? What does it say? Another version says, God forbid. How shall we? God forbid. Continue. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Go down to verse 19. I am speaking, now, this is interesting. It says, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. So Paul's saying, you know what? I'm going to get out of the spirit real quick so that you can understand me. I'm going to make it plain and simple. This is what he says. For just as you presented your members as slaves into impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Another version says, in holiness. Verse 22 says, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you deserve your benefit resulting in sanctification, in other words, holiness, and the outcome of eternal life. So is one saved over saved? Is I'm okay because I'm under grace and do whatever you want, okay? God forbid. Let's continue. Some of the church has allowed certain things in the word that the word base as immoral and sinful, ungodly to enter. Some of the things are, some of the stuff that has been allowed in the church is sex before marriage. Other things is allowing ourselves and our kids and those in our families to listen and to watch things that are according to the word inappropriate. You know, there's a lot of people, even believers, who allow themselves to watch and be part of things that are not good for their life, for their spirit, for their soul. A lot of these things we have to watch out for and not allow ourselves to get into that position where the enemy can come in and distort the voice of God. You know, without us knowing, it's like putting ourselves in a slow cooker. Or, for example, we put a crab inside of water, and then the crab is living, the crab is fine, but then it starts to boil. What happens to the crab? It dies. That's the same thing what happens to us when we allow these things to come into our lives, when we allow the things of this world, for example, listening to specific kind of secular music, watching certain kind of movies, when we allow ourselves to be fed with these things, what's happening? We're giving a bridge to the enemy to come into our lives and distort the voice of God. We're allowing the enemy to cause confusion to what God really wants, what his true purpose is for each and every one of us. I remember there was a time I was, you know, a whole week I was praying. I was reading the word, but throughout the day, you know, I was doing what I was doing. I would put my iPad on the side while I'm working. I like to watch some shows while I'm working, more for noise, if for anything else. But I remember one time I decided, you know what? I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna just straight up preaching. I'm just going to listen to preaching all week. That's all I'm going to do. I was amazed at how clearly I was hearing the voice of God. Like a total transition, as if a light was flicked on, as if I entered a frequency that I just did not hear when I was allowing myself to listen to things. And I'm not saying that I listen or look at bad things. I'm careful about what I watch, right? I'm careful. But even the things that seem okay may not be the things that are good for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from the appearances of evil. Even if it looks like it could harm you, you don't need it. I'm going to be like Paul says. I'm going to get out of the flesh and put it in lame terms. If it quacks like a duck, if it looks like a duck, then what is it? A duck. Amen. So there are things that the church is allowing, again, sex before marriage, watching, listening to things that they should not, smoking, drinking, cussing, allowing same-sex marriages, allowing those that are of the same-sex marriages to be part of the ministry of the church. These are the kind of things that are being allowed, that the people are saying, it's okay to do these things. It won't do you harm. But I revert back to 1 Thessalonians 5:22. If it's going to be harmful for you, why would we allow these things to enter into our bodies? Why would we allow the alcohol consumption to affect our bodies? Why would we allow movies and shows to be in our lives when they can affect us without us knowing? Even in the natural, a lot of these things are a distortion to our lives. If a man or a woman spend their days watching pornography, their whole life is going to be messed up. They're just going to think those things. They're just going to feel those things. And that goes the same thing with smoking, the same thing with drinking, even though it seems okay, but there are things that affect our bodies. The potential of being addicted to something is removing our putting ourselves aside for the glory of God. We cannot allow ourselves to be corrected and pulled by something else that is not God. I remember last year, I started very hardcore playing video games. I was like a hardcore video game fanatic. I was like, I love shooting games. I would sit there an hour, just sit there and just like start playing video games. I just really like shooting games. But one Saturday, I snapped. I noticed my daughter on the seat over here and my wife doing what she was doing, and I didn't realize I spent 10 hours playing video game. And every day I would get home and my excuse was, this is my way to relax. This is my way to relax. So it's okay. This is okay for me. But what I didn't realize is the addiction of depending on that for my peace was causing an interference with my connection to my Father. Things that might seem okay may not be the right thing for you. May not be the thing that God wants you to be a part of. And it can look and sound good, but it doesn't mean that it's for you. A few years ago, I remember, this is not having to do with this, but I feel led to stay on this. A few years ago, I was given an opportunity to pastor a Spanish church. And I spoke to my wife about it. This was many years ago. And it seemed like a great thing because this person that approached me, he told me everything is covered. You don't have to worry about salary. You don't have to worry about nothing. You got the place to have service. It's all ready for you. We have musicians. It was all fully blown, everything I needed. All you got to do is just say yes, and it's yours. And it seemed like, wow. You know, I don't ever want to be a pastor, but that seemed pretty legit. I don't. And I asked my wife about that. We talked about it. He said, you know what, let's pray about it. And we just kept on feeling a strong no in our inner man. It just wasn't no. But it seemed legit. It seemed right. It seemed like, yes, our finances would be covered. Everything would be complete. We would have no worry of nothing. It would be right. But when we prayed about it, the answer was no. And I didn't understand, you know, it's what it seemed like. It's doing the work of God. It's doing the work of the Lord. It's teaching every Sunday or every day. I'm doing the right thing. But just because it seems like it's the right thing at that time might not be the right thing for you. And it may be the right thing, but it may not be the right thing at the time that you need it to be. It may not. Whatever you have been waiting for, if you've been waiting for, solo ese que estaría doloroso. Mira si la dijo Lorón. A higher calling that I have given you, a higher calling that I'm calling you to, a higher calling that I'm expecting you. Come to me. A higher calling. I'm calling you to a higher calling. Yes, it might be hard. Yes. It is the higher calling. Come now. It will be. Yes, the higher calling. It is for you. Oh, yes, it is. It is for you and you. It is for all that see. It is for all that look at me. It is for all that want to see more of me. It is in me that you will see the miraculous. It is in me that you will see this higher calling. Yes, it must be. Come now. It is in me. Come. It is in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the higher calling, Lord. We thank you because it is in you, Lord, that we know that we will make it work. It is only in you that we know that we will make it happen, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for the higher calling. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. What we do matters. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Go with me. If you have it, say amen. For this is, the Bible says, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Now I'm going to jump some several scriptures here. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. It says, but because of the sexual immorality, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have their own husband. Jump down a verse to chapter 10, verse 31. Now, these are scriptures based on the topics of what the church is allowing in the church. These are proof, foundational scriptures that state what the Word of God says regarding those things. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or rather you do all things for the glory of God. Now, this in scripture is extremely vital because it says that whatever we do, in a specific sense, whatever you drink, whatever you eat, whatever you do, do it glorifying God. Now, let me ask you a question. Doing the things that may seem okay, can we really glorify God in those situations? I know while I was sitting there 10 hours playing video games, I could not, well, if I kill a lot of people, I'm like, thank you, Lord. But it wasn't true glorification to God. When I won a battle, I was like, thank you for the vision, Lord, to see all those places. But it wasn't a true glorification to God. What we see matters. Turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 34. So first we talked about what we do. Now, what we see matters. Luke 11, 34 says, your eye is the what? The lamp of what? Of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of what? So is it important when we allow ourselves to see? It is vital. So not only what we do or what we see, but what we allow or what we do with our bodies matters. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. If you have it, say amen. Is it on the screen? It says, or do you not know that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. So does your body belong to you? So does that give us the right to do what we want with our bodies? We were bought with the price. We were purchased with the price. So that means what we do with this body is, if it's not according to the word, then it's out of order. Because this body does not belong to us. So can this continue? It belongs to the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? It is God, all right? Acts chapter 2, verse 17, he says, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, right? So the Holy Spirit is God. Within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. Now also, what we speak matters. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And I want to give you guys all this scripture so that you don't say, Jerry says, no, I don't want you to say, Jerry says, not about me, but what the Word of God says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. But if there is any good word for what? For edification. This is the New American Standard Bible. For edification according to the need of the moment, say that. So in other words, don't say nonsense things that will cause condemnation, that will cause issues. Say the things that will edify other people. So if we speak things always, if we always speak things that edify people, will there be any room for anything else? Does cussing edify anybody? it does not edify anybody. It is a nonsense language. This is one thing that I tell my daughter. You know, she goes to school. She hears cussing all the time. One thing I tell her is that though you hear it, don't lower yourself to that level. Because you are a child of God, you are in a higher level. So just because you're the only one that is praying for your food, just because you're the only one that dresses decent, just because you're the only one that does not cuss, do not be ashamed of it. You are the light of the world. So I tell you this morning, people, do not lower yourself to a standard that is not meant for you. You're a woman and man of God. You are heirs of the kingdom. Why would we allow ourselves to consume things, to speak things that will only drop us to a level that is below the enemy? Why would we be in his level? We are kingdom-minded. We are kingdom people. Amen? So, let nothing come out of your mouth, right? Only for edification at the moment. So, say that, he says, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Not what we think matters. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Again, out of the New American Standard Bible. It says, finally, brethren and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, what does it say to do? Dwell on these things. My version says, think on these things. So if we strive to do according to the word, will there be room for the enemy to come in? Will there be any room for perverted thinking and perverted speaking to happen? If we dwell on these things, there will not. Now is a time that we as a body of Christ need to stand up for truth. Especially in the hour that we are in right now. Now is a time that we have to be strongly the salt of the world. We have to be the light that shines in the darkness. There's too much darkness happening in this life. There's too much people that are depressed. Too much people committing suicide. Too much people doing things that are ungodly. We have to be the ones that goes forth to speak the truth of the word. To tell them, yes, there is hope. Yes, there is peace. Yes, yes, there is another way out. We have to be the ones. But not only to your neighbors, but also to the kids that we see. Do you think it's a coincidence that abortion is so strong? It is not a coincidence. The enemy's out to kill the next generation because he knows that if God gets that generation, there will be power in the world. We will take over things. But this is why he's trying to kill every single kid. He's trying to kill every single person, putting a spirit of suicide in our young people because he knows that if that generation would just get a grip of the truth, great things will happen. Great things will start to happen. We got to pray. We got to intercede. We got to look for and help, even though, especially those in our inner church, especially those of this body of Word Life. Edify those kids. Get them by the hand. Tell them Jesus loves you and do whatever we got to do, anything we have to do to help our kids grow in the Word. We have to, because if we don't, who else is going to do it? Who else is going to step up to the plate? I tell you what, if I don't take the opportunity to spend time with my daughter and teach her the truth, if my wife doesn't do it, who else is going to do it? You know what? If I don't do it, the world's going to do it. So it's either them or it's me. Now the question is, which one is stronger in our homes? What are you doing right now in your home that you are teaching those who are in your home? What are we doing? Even if they're not living in your home, when you have conversations with them, is the word of God being spoken at all? Every time I talk to my dad, every single time, he said, we always end the conversation with, mijo, Let me pray for you. Okay. And he prays for me every single time we end a phone call. That's the kind of stuff we have to do. We have to let them know that this is normal. This is our natural. Now is the time. Now is the time. God is looking for pure hearts, those that will stand up for what is holy. For what is holy? Holiness has gotten a very bad rap in the church. Amen? When you hear the word holiness, it's like almost like a cuss word in the Christian community. Because to live in holiness is, in a lot of ways, legalism. Gosh, I despise that word. A lot of people don't realize is that holiness is something that God is looking for. It's not about a doctrine. It's not about a belief. It's about what the Lord is looking for in his people. I'll show you. To live in holiness is not to live in legalism. Holiness is not having men wearing long sleeves like I know growing up, or having women wear long skirts all the way down to their ankles. That is not holiness. That is not what the holiness I'm talking about. Oh, the holiness I'm talking about is holy, is living a holy life completely separated for the will of God. Completely set apart, set aside for what God has for us. Holiness is living a lifestyle separated from the world. Holiness is living a life that is sanctified, set apart, abstaining from the appearances of evil. Holiness means to being totally devoted and dedicated to the will of God. Holiness is being set aside for his special use and influence in our lives. That is what holiness is. Now, don't get me wrong. Living and dressing decent is a good thing. It is a good thing. We have to live separate, not only in the inside, but in the outside as well. But God is looking for people with pure hearts, pure minds, pure thoughts, those who are able to get into his presence and hear his voice. That is what he's looking for. Not being conformed to this world, to what this world has. The world says, live as you want. Think as you want. Do as you want. But the Lord says, do as I do. Be holy for I am holy. Live right because I am right. I give you life. I give it to you. Do what I do. That is what we should do in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 16 says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Be holy yourselves. Also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. Be holy not only in the outward appearance, but also in the inside. Living a life in the secret ways and behind closed doors that will gratify our Lord. That will give God a smile. That is what he's searching for. That is what he's looking for. Turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. I'm going to read out of the New American Standard Version. The scripture I'm going to read is the prime scripture of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. If you have it, say amen. He says, for I am the Lord your God. He says, consecrate yourselves. That is another type of curse word in the Christian community. To consecrate yourself is not a bad thing. It's not something that's bad. It is something that we need to do. He says, consecrate yourselves therefore and be what? Because he is holy, and you shall not make yourselves unclean with any swarming things that swarm on earth. If we live our lives in the life that is approved and acceptable unto God, there's nothing that the enemy can do to condemn us. There's nothing that he can do that will attack us, that will penetrate our lives, because we are living lives holy and acceptable unto God. There's nothing wrong with living a holy life. There's nothing wrong with living a life that is consecrated. There's nothing wrong with praying every single day. There's nothing wrong with praying in the Spirit every single day. There's nothing wrong with reading your word daily. There is nothing wrong with having a continual fast. If anything, once a week. I'm not just talking about the Daniel fast once a year. I'm saying having a continual fast, submitting your bodies to the Spirit of God. Fasting is not a bad thing. It is a thing that we need to do, that we should do in order to consecrate this body, submit this body unto the Spirit of, unto the Lord God Almighty. That is something, these are things that we need to do every day. It's not for God's benefit, but for our benefit. It is just the stuff that we need to do on a daily basis. So one thing I want to share with you, that whatever you abandon, the devil will occupy. Whatever you let go of, the devil will take possession of. If you remove the time that you use for prayer, the enemy will come in and fill it up with something else. We have to be vigilant. We have to be with our minds open. Bible said, pray without ceasing. Don't stop glorifying God. Don't stop being spiritually minded. We have to be like that all the time. Why? Because if we are not, then the devil, the enemy can easily sneak in. Doesn't the Bible say that he's like a roaring lion searching for whom he may devour? So what does that tell us? He doesn't stop. So if the enemy doesn't stop, are we going to stop? If the enemy doesn't stop searching for whom he may devour, and if we're caught there sleeping, we are prime target for the enemy. So today I encourage you, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And I'm going to conclude with this. Let's make a choice today. Let's do what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24. He said, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, serving the Lord means living in a pure lifestyle, living in a life that is gratifying and holy unto God. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, but I'm going to read this out of the translation, Passion Translation. What bliss you experience when you hear, when your heart is pure. For then your eyes will open to see more and more of God. When we live a life of purity, we are able to see and hear more of God. Why is that? Because there is nothing to distort the voice of God. There is nothing to get in the way. We need to make it a practice to live a life of purity. And today I call anyone who wants to recommit their lives to God. I don't need to know anything you did. I don't care. I'm looking for those who want to say, Lord, I may not have been living my life as you asked me to, but today I commit to submit myself into a holy lifestyle that gratifies you. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to come up to the altar. Come up to the altar and just resubmit your lives unto the Lord. Don't hesitate. If you're living good, if you're living fine, all right, so be it. But if you want to take today to recommit yourselves to God, this place is open for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As you're standing here, speak those words. Commit yourself unto the Lord. Forget about who's next to you. Forget about who is around you. Don't wait for an altar worker right now. This is between you and God. This is between you and Him. Speak those words. Recommit your life. Father, today we make a decision to recommit ourselves unto You. Lord, we may have slacked and may not have been obedient, Lord, in the things that You have called us to do. But this day, Lord, we make a commitment to submit all that we are unto You, Father. We renew this commitment with You. Lord, we no longer want to live for what we think or what we feel or what we desire. Lord, we want to live a life that is gratifying unto You, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. It's reasonable, Father, that You ask for us after all that You have done for us, Lord. How You have given Your Son for us, Father. Lord, we give ourselves to You in every aspect, from our heads down to our toes. We submit ourselves. Thank You, Jesus. Now I'm going to ask the altar workers if they can come to the front. Be led. Go to somebody you feel led to pray with. Thank You, Jesus. This is a new day. A new beginning. A new beginning. No longer will You be the same. No longer will You be the same. New beginning. Holy. Holy lifestyle. Holy. Father, this day we choose to release the addictions. We release anything that is taking us away from You. Anything that is distracting us, Lord. Show us that we may submit it unto You. Those of you who are sitting down, if you didn't come up because of whatever, just as you are there, recommit your lives unto the Lord. Surrender. Thank You.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the Word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the Word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.